lying cops, brutal cops, racist cops. Why, for much of white America, does this come as such a shock? Some of the answer may have to do with heads in the sand, some with our own deep prejudices. But what about just cultural indoctrination? We are a TV society. Could it be that our notions of police and policing are distorted by the entertainment we've been fed and happily swallowed our whole lives? Washington Post culture columnist Alyssa Rosenberg says, yeah, that, and wrote a column last week demanding a serious reckoning among the storytellers behind cop TV and movies. She especially targeted the long-running so-called reality series Cops, writing that canceling the program, quote, would be a start, and incredibly, Hollywood obliged.
It's the end of the line for the TV show Cops. After more than a 30-year run.
I'm as startled as anyone else, and I certainly don't think I deserve credit for Cops cancellation. But, you know, I think that is a signal to a lot of other networks and studios that if you're going to make really sweeping statements about what your values are and how your work should uphold them, you know, show us the receipts.
We first spoke to Rosenberg in 2016 when she wrote a series of articles examining the relationship between Hollywood and the police, from Dragnet to The Wire. This time around, I asked her, remind me, why the audience's endless appetite for this genre?
So I think that cop shows are perfect dramatically. The commission of crime produces stakes, and that's what viewers tend to want in their television shows. The investigation of crime produces a plot, and then the arrest and prosecution of a suspect provides a morally satisfying conclusion. So there's a reason that cop shows are sort of as close as you get to a platonic ideal to emerge from American popular entertainment. They're just good television.
The premise of your most recent piece and of the series you did 4 years ago is that the hagiography has an effect. It may not reflect reality, but it influences perceptions of police work. Tell me how so.
I went back and watched and read 100 years of this stuff. And pop culture paints the police as more effective than they actually are. And if you watch Law & Order or Chicago PD or any of the sort of mainstream network police shows, you would assume that most of the time, when a crime is reported, it is investigated, and the police identify a suspect and arrest them and try them. That is not true. Almost 40% of murders in the United States are not cleared. But again, one of the things that you see in the 70s, as crime rises, as the number of crimes that are cleared falls, is stories that suggest that cops sort of are set apart from their fellow citizens, that they are not given the tools that they need to do the job. They are sort of martyrs who will not properly be understood for the sacrifices that they're making on behalf of their communities. And, you know, I think that we're seeing the consequences of that mentality, that image right now. I mean, I think a lot of what's happening in the protests against police brutality in the United States is an effort to reassert democratic control over police departments that have come to behave as if they're not answerable to their communities, and if the idea of serving and protecting is sort of a sick joke.
So there's a trope that flows from what you just said, and that is the heroic police officer who is chafing with the bureaucratic limitations of how he's permitted to go about his job. And he goes out on a borderline vigilante effort to bring the bad guys to justice.
Yeah, well, when an adult male is chasing a female with intent to commit rape, I shoot the bastard. That's my policy.
So the Dirty Harryization of television, do you believe it has led to the Dirty Harryization of real-life cops?
I think it's really hard to ascribe causality, but yeah, I mean, I think the proliferation of images of the Punisher, for example, on patches that police officers wear on their uniforms speaks to that. I mean, the Punisher is a comic book character. He's a vigilante. He operates outside the law.
It's not vengeance. No, not vengeance. It's punishment.
The idea that police officers would identify with a figure like that instead of understanding Frank Castle as, you know, a criminal, a perversion of their mission, I think is really telling.
What do you think TV shows can do to avoid portraying an ideal that just simply, you know, insults the reality on the streets?
Look, I would say I don't have the answer to this. If I knew how to make a police show that would be dramatically resonant and show the way forward at a moment when American policing is in total upheaval, I would quit my job as a critic, move to Hollywood, and become the world's first trillionaire, right? I would say broadly on network television, the big innovation has been to tell more stories starring minority cops. And, you know, I think those perspectives can be valuable. At the same time, Hollywood has a long history of using Black and female and gay cops sort of to argue in favor of the police as a sort of citizen machine. Often those minority cops are transformed by the experience and end up functioning sort of as an advertisement for the broad-mindedness of their police departments rather than bending their departments towards their communities. But I have to say, when I have interviewed Dan Gore, who's the showrunner for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he has in the past described it as, you know, sort of a hopeful model for what policing can be.
Oh, come on, Jake. Just explain the deep-rooted institutionalized racism that remains pervasive in this country to this day.
Gina, they're children.
So put it in a song, Jake. Watch this. Racism.
I think that's valuable. I think art can show us how the world should be in addition to how it is. It can be prescriptive as well as diagnostic. But if you are making a comedy about policing and you're in an environment where the police are killing people and it's being caught on video, if it feels like change is never going to come, if it feels like that model is never going to be realized, that hopefulness can feel sort of sour. I have probably more faith in the Brooklyn Nine-Nine writers than I would in, you know, the staff of a lot of other shows to do that. But it's a near impossible task.
If we can agree that it's remarkable that cops just vanished overnight, this bottomless treasure chest for Hollywood, I wonder about the genre itself. Because if it becomes more nuanced, if it focuses more on the policed than on the police themselves, if it tells stories where the stakes are lower and the gunplay not present, is anybody going to watch them? And as a consequence, is there anyone in Hollywood who's going to produce them?
Well, it's worth noting that Cops was not getting a huge audience even by cable standards, and so it was easier to cut it loose. But look, we're asking a really fundamental question, both in the streets and at our keyboards as critics right now, which is, what do we want the police to do? What are the police for? And yeah, this conversation may result in us as a society reaching conclusions about what we want policing to be that are less cinematic. I love cop shows. I would not have spent so much of my career thinking about them if I didn't find them endlessly diverting and fascinating and troubling. But I would trade the entertainment of police shows for clarity about what we want policing to be and a greater ability to do it in a way that works for the communities who are supposed to be served by cops and the cops themselves.
Alyssa, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Alyssa Rosenberg is an opinion writer covering culture at The Washington Post. Coming up, Antifa or Antichrist? This is On the Media.